This message is presented to you by Faith Chapel San Diego. Our vision is Jesus, period. To find out more, visit faithchapelsd.com.
Amen. If you want to track in the notes, download the Faith Chapel app. You should go to your app store or your Google Play store. The notes are there. Trust me, you want to get the app. It baffles me. I still run into people all the time and they're like, we have an app? I'm like, yes, we do. We use it all the time. And we're always uploading it with all kinds of links and announcements and the sermon notes and all the ministries are listed there. It's very, very helpful. So I would encourage you to get the app. That way you can track along with the notes. They'll also be on the screen behind me. We've been teaching through the Gospels pretty much chronologically, focusing on the things that Jesus has been saying. If we truly are going to have Jesus as our mission, culture like Christ, and our vision, then we better make sure we understand the things that he said and the things that he did. So I felt like this was a great, great way for us to keep our focus on the Christ. And now, as you well know, I've said it many times, I don't really do series very well. I do seasons. So we're just like in a season of diving into this said topic, and we'll be here for a minute, so I'll tell you that much. So, but today we're going to be in Luke chapter 5, so if you have your paper Bibles with you, you can turn there. Otherwise, track along on the app or the screen behind me or your phone. It's going to be good. Luke chapter 5, I'm going to pick it up in verse 1. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. All right, this is our first little portion of scripture. I find it very interesting that Jesus is addressing this crowd. He's speaking to them, and then he steps into Simon Peter's boat. He's addressing the crowd. They're getting a little pushy on him. He doesn't have security like we do here. So please don't do that. Don't come pushing up here. Whatever, people will tackle you. But they're pushing on Jesus. And Jesus says, I got to create a little barrier between me and them. So I need to get over here. And he steps into Simon Peter's boat. As far as we could tell, Peter didn't invite him into the boat. There's no indicator that Peter was even there to listen to Jesus' teaching. He was fishing. He was washing his nets. I've learned that oftentimes others are chasing after Jesus, and I may even be oblivious to what's happening, but then, due to perhaps nothing else other than proximity, he steps into my boat. There was other people pursuing Jesus. Do you catch that? They were pursuing Jesus. They were leaning into him. They were hungry for his teaching, and Jesus steps into Peter's boat. We need to be a people with enough discernment to recognize what is happening all around us, because stuff is happening all around us. It may be the open door to your next great life-changing encounter with God, might be because you recognize what the Lord is maybe not doing in your world, but in somebody right next to you. We have to be observant. We are connected as a body. And as we're connected, I believe there's so many wonderful things that somebody is receiving from the Lord over here that becomes an inspiration, that becomes a faith-filled moment, an opportunity for you to grasp and run with over here. I want to tell you this morning, pay attention to what he's doing in the lives of those around you, for it may mean he steps right into your boat. Pay attention. There is so many wonderful things happening in the lives of people all around us. And that may mean he steps into your boat as you and I are paying attention to what he's doing in the world around us. See, these people are literally crowding Jesus so much that he can't even easily teach them. He needs to get in a boat to create a little space. He does it. Before you know it, he's right there with Simon Peter. He's right in the midst of Peter. There's something that he is going to encounter as a consequence of the pursuit of other people. There was something that Simon Peter is about to get invited into because of the pursuit of Jesus from people other than himself. You see, people are watching you. People are certainly watching you. You might think you're the most uninfluential, is that a word? Uninfluential person in the world. But I'm going to tell you right now, people are watching you. They watch how you pray. They watch when you step in the aisles. They watch how you worship. They watch how you give. They watch how you cry. They watch how you handle difficult situations. They watch what you do when you get to the end of your rope. They watch what you do when you're in a great moment of frustration. They watch how you stay consistent. They're observing you. They're seeing things all around you. Your kids, your family, your spouse, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, your neighbor, your boss, they're watching you. I love it. I don't mind people watching my life because I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I want to be like Paul, where Paul one day said in 1 Corinthians 11, he said, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. That's a crazy statement, especially coming from the guy who was murdering Christians not that long prior, persecuting the church. There was people in the congregation that Paul had apostolic authority over who probably had dead loved ones because Paul killed them. And then he stands up and says, look at my life and I'll show you Jesus. Excuse me, sir? I'm having a hard time with just dealing with the fact that Jesus can forgive you as opposed to following your lifestyle. But oh, the transforming work that Saul experienced on the road to Damascus, which transformed his life. Same is true for you and for me in here. I love watching people go from complacent, apathetic walks with God and get on fire for the things of God. I'm seeing it in people all around me. My little sister Brittany is burning for the things of God right now. She was up here singing. She's on fire for God and people are watching her. And as she burns for the Lord, others are seeing what she carries on her life now and determining, I want the same thing. You see, some people don't even know what they want till they see you shining with it. I could tell you story after story after story of different people that are burning for the things of God because they saw it in somebody else. Now, my favorite heroes, my favorite people in the world are, I love our biblical heroes. I love the life of Jesus. I love the beloved one, David. I love hearing about Paul, and I love seeing what John does as he walks in nearness to the Lord. I love those things. But I also see people on this stage and people that are out there in this congregation that I look at, and I'm like, man, I love that they are so strong in their faith. I love that this individual is over 90-something years old and still faithful to the things of God. I love that these people feel like they could be anywhere else, and yet they show up at a work party and serve the Lord. I love a Miley who says, you need someone to step up, I'll step up. And even though I got to be here for the 2 p.m. service as well for Lugar de Encuentro and serve, basically my entire Sunday is filled with serving the church, but I'll do it as unto the Lord. I admire men like that. Praise God for people like that, that honor the Lord in all things. I admire the ones that say, I may not be able to have enough pep in my step to get out there and do some things, but God has blessed me financially and I can support that financially. I can send missions efforts all over the world like we'll be talking about in the next couple weeks, especially because the Commissions Conference is this upcoming weekend, which I hope you'll be here for. Because these are things where we're saying, my gosh, I just got to be involved and people are watching you. Whew. Some people are simply unaware of what they need because they've just never been exposed to it. There was so much concerning the kingdom of God that I didn't even have a grid for until I got exposed to it. And I realized that's got the heart of Jesus all over it. There is so much that we just haven't been exposed to. That's part of my job, is to help expose you to the more of the Lord. And rest assured, friends, there is more. Whatever you currently know about the Lord, whatever I currently know about the Lord, there's more. And I want the more. I'm hungry for the more. I want to know him so, I want to be so close to him. I remember when my wife got saved. She was a Christian before I met her. But she was just really getting started with her faith, really going deeper in the things of God. And when I met her, I asked her, I said, have you ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And she said, yeah, I got baptized at the rock. She was talking about being baptized in water. And I said, well, being baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Spirit are two separate instances. She said, huh? And we took out this manual that my dad put together, and we went through the manual, and it was so good. It was talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit according to Acts chapter 2 and other portions of Scripture. And so we went through it together For the record, we're going to be talking about this on Wednesday nights. We've been talking about the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit, and we're about to move into the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. So if that's something that you're very interested in, the baptism in the Holy Spirit and fire and moving in the power of God, you need to be coming here on Wednesday nights. You know, just get here, because we're going to be diving deep into that. It's going to be good. It's already been really good, but it's going to get even better. So my wife was like, I love Jesus with everything in me. So to make a long story short, we go, we pray. She gets filled with the Holy Spirit upstairs. God blesses her in this remarkable way. She has this beautiful encounter. It was full of tears and snot and all kinds of gross stuff. And it was the most beautiful, gross thing I ever saw. And after it was all said and done, you know what her comment was? And I've said this once. I'll probably say it 1,000 times. So just hear it again. She said, why has nobody told me about this? She said, I've been going to churches my whole life, but no one told me about this. I've never been exposed to it. It was always there, but you never were exposed to it. It's like discovering the best restaurant in the city was a block away from your house, and you never knew it because no one ever exposed you to it. You drive right by it and go to Taco Bell. And that's not to dog on Taco Bell, maybe a little bit. But my wife loves Taco Bell. It's right there, but you just got to be exposed to it. So when it came to this wonderful facet concerning the kingdom of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, man, it rocked her world in a powerful way. And she was frustrated even at previous leaders to say, why did you never tell me about this? And God was moving in her. Sometimes you don't even know what the Lord may be doing until you see the breakthrough in somebody else. Sometimes you don't have faith for something you should be believing for until you see it in somebody else. And when somebody else gets that breakthrough, when somebody else gets the healing they were contending for, the financial breakthrough, the marriage gets restored, the wayward son or daughter comes back and repents before God, you see it and it builds faith for you to say, my God, if you do it for them, I believe you'll do it for me, for you are no respecter of persons. Amen? And we begin to believe for one thing, that somebody else may be catching. You see, the hungry ones around you may break barriers for you and I as we step into great unity. And I mean unity as we chase Jesus. Unity as we chase Jesus. You know, it was believed that for an athlete to break a 4-minute mile was simply impossible. There's going to be a video on the screen behind me and you'll catch a glimpse of it. Their perception was based on a few factors. Limited historical precedent. Do we got that video? Cool. I want that to show so that you can see the visual of it. Go ahead and play that. It was believed for an athlete to break a 4-minute mile was simply impossible. Their perception was based on a few factors, limited historical precedent, and no recorded athlete had ever run a mile in under 4 minutes. Anybody in here, you ran track, you know what it was like, right? Okay, I think at some point I might have been close to 7 minutes. That's about as fast as your boy got, okay? It's not very fast, not very fast at all. Limited historical precedent. No recorded athlete had ever done it. Athletes have been trying to break this barrier for years, and the inability to do so led to the belief that it was a physical impossibility until Roger Bannister broke through this barrier on May 6, 1954. He was the first recorded individual to run and to break the 4-minute mile. May 6, 1954. But check this out. On June 21st, a little over a month later, 1954, at an international meet at Turku, Finland, John Landy became the second man after Roger Bannister to achieve a sub-4-minute mile. And then there was a third, and then a fourth. Once somebody proved what was possible, something inside of ambitious people all around saw that this was possible, and they began to rise to the occasion and produce more than they could have prior to the barrier being broken. This is mind-blowing to me. Everybody said, this is impossible, and then somebody proved it actually is possible. And then something rose up in the mind of other athletes to say, if he could do it, I could do it. If I can press in, I believe that God can get a breakthrough because this person shown what was possible. We need to show the world what it's like to truly live consumed for the kingdom of God. I believe people will not only be inspired, they'll be transformed. Don't just surround yourself with people that you're comfortable with. Surround yourself with people who challenge you to go deeper than you've ever gone before. Let them show you what's possible in our endeavor to love Jesus. Show the world what's possible with God. We should be showing the world what's possible with God. This is how we should be living 24/7, living a lifestyle of saying, let me invite you into a deeper relationship with the Lord. Let me, in the day and age where at the beckoning call of my phone, I can hear the wonderful reports of what God is doing all over the world. I can listen to some of the greatest preachers, and I can listen to great podcasts and hear wonderful testimonies of great things that God is doing in men and women the world over, and sit in my home and be inspired about what God is doing. And it provokes me to go deeper. This is the opposite of people who go on a rabbit trail into the negative. This is what's problem with this. I'm going to look up, here's the problem with the president. Here's the problem with government. Here's the problem with this. And here's the problem with San Diego. And here's the problem. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. And we feed into the negative. I want to encourage you to feed yourself and be inspired into godly inspiration. Like, read the scriptures. Read the scriptures and hear what godly men and women have been doing for thousands of years as we seek the Lord. He's smashing barriers. You're being invited into something greater, something deeper, not just casual Christianity. There's not supposed to be a such thing. Jesus is the example, and it's why he is our vision. If you recall, Simon Peter had already seen Jesus back in John chapter 1. And Jesus told him he'd call him Cephas, meaning rock, Peter. But after this encounter, apparently Simon Peter went back to fishing while crowds were following Jesus everywhere he went. So he sees Jesus in the neighborhood. Jesus even has a conversation with him, tells him he's going to change his name. And it was a cool encounter. But eventually, Peter wakes up Monday morning and his alarm goes off. He wakes up, he shaves, he makes pancakes. He goes, gets his net and his boat, and goes back out fishing. Because I got to clock in. I got to pay the bills. I got work to do. He goes right back out. He was likely keeping an eye on Jesus, but he clearly hadn't left everything to follow him. He's back at the 9-to-5. And Peter clearly wasn't convinced that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. At this point, this day, back in Luke chapter 5, this day, he was likely not even looking for Jesus, but there was these hungry ones all around thronging Jesus when the Messiah stepped into Simon Peter's boat. Am I saying that just because you get saved, you should quit your job and quit everything and just run after Jesus full time? No, that's not what I'm saying. But if the Lord asks you to do so, you should better be obedient. You should better be obedient. That does not sound right at all. That sounds all messed up. You should be obedient. You better be obedient. Good Lord, help me. If God calls you to lay it all down, you better. Me and my wife are prepared at any moment to empty our bank account, to move across the world, to do whatever God's called us to do, anywhere, anytime. And we were just in a season not that long ago where it could have gone a bunch of different ways for us. We didn't know where we were going to end up. Praise God, he has us here. We're so honored to be here. We're honored to lead here. We're thrilled. Thrilled. And that's great looking back from this point, but when you were in the middle of, we don't know where this would go. God, we trust you. It's a way of living where we can just say, God, I want to be obedient to you wherever that sends my family. You should be prepared to, at any given moment, to do whatever it takes to be radically obedient to the Lord. And I'm just going to tell you, some of you in this room, we are too tethered to our way of life. We are too tethered. We are too comfortable with the lifestyle that we have chosen. And there's nothing wrong with nice things. There's nothing wrong with comfy cars and comfy homes and a cushioned job. And all of that's fantastic. Just make sure you're in the will of the Lord. is if you're not in the will of the Lord and you're enjoying all of these comforts, you lose. What do you want? Do you want to one day live your life comfortable, or do you want to live your life out of radical obedience to God, wherever that may send you? I thank God that there's people who have said yes to the call of Christ wherever it sent them. And some people were sent to very uncomfortable places and did those types of things. And others were just said, hey, you can stay exactly where you are, living where you are, eating what you eat, buying the kind of clothes that you buy, living the lifestyle that you live, but there's a greater degree of your heart that needs to be given to the King. And if you will open up that greater degree of your heart, God will meet you right in your place. So it's not just about like, oh, we should give it all away. Like, I have a problem with people who are like, oh, this person's a preacher and they drive a pretty nice car. Clearly, they don't serve the Lord. You should be driving a really trash vehicle and giving away all your money. That's not the kingdom either. That's not the kingdom either. It's about being obedient to whatever God has called you to do. And I thank God for his blessings. I'm not saying sell your beautiful home and go live in a shack down the street. We're all, by for the record, a shack down the street is 10,000 times better than the way the majority of the world lives. So let's just get a perspective here. But what I'm talking about is radical obedience to God. God, what have you called me to do? How do you want me to live? I need to be hungry for you. I need to be pursuing you. Not like how Peter first acted in this, where he got an invitation from God, went back to his old way of doing things. But God's grace was so good that as others were thronging Jesus, he steps into Peter's boat. Man, what a gracious thing. Let's look at it a little bit more in verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. This is a doozy right here. I love Peter. I hear his voice in my head. Like I don't know what Peter sounded like, but I can just hear it in my head. Jesus comes in and he's like, hey, let's go out there and catch some fish. And Peter's like, okay, Mr. Preacher guy. Tell you what. Why don't you do the teachy-preachy thing from the shoreline, and why don't you leave the fishing to the professionals? You know, I've been doing this since I was a little kid, jokester. I'm sure that's what he was thinking. The best time to catch fish was at night, which is why they were out there at night, with no results. Interestingly enough, I'm curious how often fishermen went out at night and caught nothing, like zero. If you think about it, I would dare say that the miracle that just took place actually began the night before. I wonder how many times fish were swimming towards their nets at night, and there was like, I don't know, maybe it was an angel or something, and fish were coming, and the angel's like, nope, not yet. Shoo. And the fish are like, oh, okay, I guess we're going over here. And then Peter's there like, oh, I got nothing on the nets again. And then the more fish go down, and the angel's like, no, not yet. I don't know, I'm just speculating. But the miracle began the night before. Why? Because Peter had to know that what was about to happen the next day was supernatural. It had to be supernatural for him. We toiled all night. We know what we're doing. We're pros, and we caught nothing. Now you show up, you send us out when the fish aren't as hungry, and we bring in the biggest catch we've ever had. Our boat is sinking. This is supernatural. The father knew Simon Peter needed a shocking enough experience with Jesus to realize that this was no coincidence. How many fish were swimming towards those nets that were detoured one way or another? Reading a little bit between the lines here, but did you notice that the first thing Jesus asked Peter to do while he got in the boat was to go deeper? I believe the Lord is calling Faith Chapel to a new level of kingdom impact and depth of relationship with God, where the shallow waters will simply not do it anymore. I'm telling you right now, I feel on mission, I feel authority on this, because I have lived in the shallows and I know what that's like, and I've also lived in the deep waters and I know what that's like. And I'm telling you, I believe there is a new day coming for Faith Chapel where the shallow waters, we are grateful for them. Everybody starts out in the shallow waters. It's the milk for the infants. It's the little things that we need to understand, establishing the kingdom. Praise God for it. But we are not supposed to be splashing around in the shallow waters forever. There is a deep place in the Lord where he wants to take us in order to accomplish the things that he's dreaming for us to walk in, and splashing around in the shallow end of those waters will simply not cut it anymore. Psalms 42:7 tells us, deep calls unto deep. This is why it's so crucial that we teach on the Holy Spirit, which we're doing each Wednesday night at our midweek encounter service, because Paul puts it like this in his letter to the Corinthians. He says this in 1 Corinthians 2:9, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him? But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. We need to develop relationship with the Holy Spirit so that we don't just stay on the very shallow things of the kingdom. He takes us deeper in the things of God. He teaches us about intercession. He teaches us about our authority and how to pray. He teaches us how to shake things out of complacency. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just come to church just to have a good time. I'm at church because I want to seek God with amongst other people that believe for supernatural encounters to happen. I don't know about you, but when I didn't come to church sometimes just to be encouraged, if I'm suffering and I'm going through something difficult in my marriage or in my body, I want to believe for someone who believes in the deeper things of the kingdom. Don't you? If you're riddled in brokenness, if you're struggling with demonic attacks on your life, I don't want to just come to church and sing a couple cute songs. That's not going to help me. I want somebody who knows their authority in Christ Jesus that can cast a demon out of me so that I can get free and worship Jesus in freedom. I don't know about you, but if I'm sick or hurting, I might hear an encouraging word, and thank you for that encouraging word, but I need somebody who believes this stuff. I need someone who will contend for this. When I get a report that my kids are straying from God and the cops are after them and there's hits on their life and there's terrible things, that might sound too crazy for you, but I'm telling you, this is the reality of people that are in this room. I want to yoke up with other believers who actually believe these things with all their heart. We need people who believe in the deeper waters where the shallow stuff is just not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. I thank God for what he's doing, and there is deep things happening. I could tell you so great stories, man. I could tell you about my new friend Andy right over here. Last week, came to Easter Sunday service, had a bum knee, came on crutches, stood up here in the front, walked to church on crutches with a bum knee, a mile and a half, I don't know, longer than I could walk, I'll tell you that much. Came in, gave his heart to Jesus. My boy Javier ministered to him, prayed with him. God delivered him from all kinds of stuff. He gave his heart to Jesus. God healed his knee. He was running around in here and went for a run this week with his knee feeling good. How's your knee feel? Come on, man. Isn't that great? Praise God, bro. Woo! We'll have to get you to have him tell his story sometime. But he said God delivered him from a life. It was a life of gangbanging. It was a life of all kinds of messed up stuff, pursuing the darker things. And God is setting him free. I know he's at the beginning of his journey, but I thank God he didn't just come in and all we provided was Easter eggs. And I love me some Easter eggs with some candy in it. Praise God for Easter eggs. But I'm just telling you, we need to be amongst people who believe something in the deep things of God. We need to develop relationship with the Spirit of God so as we hear him, the Spirit who searches the deep things can reveal them to us. Amen? Whew! I'm just saying. Casual church ain't going to cut it. This day and age, we're going to need something far more. And the Spirit of God is searching the deep things of the kingdom. We need this. Casual church won't cut it. I'm so over casual church. It makes me want to throw up. Super over that. I want him. He's enough. He's plenty attractive. Jesus is so beautiful. He's so lovely. He's so full of grace and power and authority. Man, he will mess your life up if you'll get to know the real him. That's how we culture like Christ. Simon Peter was likely a very successful businessman. His kind of life was probably super good. He was a successful businessman. He's used to being a boss. He was used to saying, hey, show up, do this, do that. You guys take your boat over there. We're going to do this, clean the nets. That's how he rolled. But there was someone far better than anything he had ever encountered before, And that someone just stepped into his boat. And the first thing he asked him to do is go deeper. Man, I tell you, I feel the Spirit of God saying to Faith Chapel today, you may continue doing the same thing you've been doing, something you're good at, something you're familiar with, but perhaps you're being invited to do it in a deep place with the Lord, and you will see God yield a harvest in your life unlike you've ever experienced before. The King just stepped into your boat, and he's calling you deeper. Place your hands on your hearts. Not quite done just yet, but just receive that. I wrote that down word for word as I felt God gave it to me in my office. The King just stepped into your boat, and he's calling you deeper. God, we want to go deeper. As we pause for just a moment, we should be asking ourselves, what does this look like for me? What does it look like for you when you wake up tomorrow, spring break's over, kids going back to school, all that stuff? What does it look like for you Monday morning for you to go deeper? What does this look like for you Tuesday night? What does this look like for you Friday afternoon? To go deeper, where you hear the knock on your heart. God is calling you into something deeper. Man, I just got to be honest. I feel it myself. God's calling me deeper. I can't get caught up in the busyness of all the new things that I'm doing and miss the wonderful romance of God who sees me as his beloved. He's calling me deeper. I'm going to get there. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Maybe you're a teacher. What does this look like to have him take you deeper in a powerful place of encounter with him as you teach? Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. What does it look like to parent your children while God takes you deeper in the things of him? Maybe you're in the corporate world. Maybe you're a coach. Maybe you're a waitress. Maybe you're in the tech industry. What could God possibly be desiring to do with your skill set as he takes you deeper in the kingdom? Peter knew how to fish, and he caught nothing all night. Jesus steps in the boat, takes him deeper, and the breakthrough comes. But the breakthrough wasn't just to make Peter a better fisherman. It was an invitation to a life he had never considered. Did you notice? If I'm a businessman and Jesus steps in my boat and says, come over here, and I bring in way more fish than I ever catch, I'm immediately thinking, how do I market this guy? How much do I got to pay for this dude to be on my fishing team? Because he knows where the fish are. That's what churches do. A lot of them. Ooh, this person is extremely gifted. How can I leverage their gift for my benefit? I don't want to leverage your gift for my benefit. I want to take the wonderful, beautiful things of the kingdom that I've learned, that we're learning as a team and as a family, and give that to you so that as you steward the flame that God has given you, the gifts and callings that are on your life will exponentially increase, and he'll take you so much farther than you could ever go. Then you could be faithful wherever God calls you to be faithful. So if you're making a really great income and God blesses you and more increases, the result of that should be you just keep pursuing God, doing what he's called you to do. And as you steward his faithfulness in your life, you be a blessing wherever God's called you to be, whether that's to fellowship at this house or somewhere else. But go to a place that's challenging you and walking in your faith, not just massaging your shoulders and saying, keep going, tiger. No, it's got to be a place that loves you and wants to encourage you and provoke you and challenge you and even get in your face and saying, stop being so lazy. Pursue God with everything in you. This is so much better than you ever dreamed. This happens with Peter, and the nets begin to tear. The productivity. Doing it Jesus' way was so exponentially better, they couldn't even contain it. In fact, the boats were sinking. I think it's a prophetic picture that if you're going to have Jesus in your boat and do things his way, you can't keep your old ways of doing things. They will tear apart and ultimately sink. The blessings that God has for you requires a new wineskin. It's a new way of thinking. It's a new mindset. I got to tell you this. Don't try to squeeze Jesus into your old way of life. You don't get to keep all the old ways of doing things and then sprinkle Jesus on top and call it good. That's not how the kingdom works, friend. I'm sorry if someone told you that before. You were lied to. I love you enough to tell you, it doesn't work that way. God may give, you hold it all like this, and God may let you keep 95% of it, but there may be a couple things he asks you to lay down. They may be your most favorite things. You know what those become for you? Your unblemished lamb. That becomes your sacrifice. It becomes a, I love all this, but God, I give it all to you. And God may say, fantastic, keep doing all of that. It's great. Keep burning for me. Keep doing this stuff. But I need you to let this go because I'm able to see what this looks like 10 years from now, and it's going to hurt you, and I don't want anything to hurt you. So I need you to let that go. But I love him. He's so special and amazing, and he's my favorite boyfriend I've ever had. You need to let it go. I have something far better for you. It'll destroy it. When he steps into your boat, you should be prepared at any moment to leave it all down for the new life Jesus presents for you. I'm not asking you to do anything that my wife and I don't already do. Huh. Like many times over. And it's scary every single time we like lay our whole life down at the feet of Jesus. And he's like, it gets scary, but beautiful. Let's look at verse 8 as I wrap this up. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. This is such an interesting revelation. Jesus didn't say anything about Peter's sin life. Jesus didn't call Peter out for cheating on his taxes. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, I saw you checking out that girl at the dock before you left and went out fishing." Jesus didn't say, "Hey, I hear you saying some naughty, coarse joking with your buddies while you were in the boat. That's not good talk, Peter." That's not what he said. There was something about the number of fish that they caught with Jesus' direct involvement on the matter, the miracle, which Peter obviously knew was a miracle, that their eyes were opened, his eyes were opened, and now this was indeed no normal man that had just stepped into my boat. He was convinced because of the miracle. It was the fish that opened up Peter's eyes of who Jesus really was. Now remember, this was that second encounter that Peter's already had with the Lord. He had been keeping an eye on him. But now he steps right into his boat, proving this is no ordinary man. You see, they saw the people, I believe Peter and his buddies, they saw the people crowding Jesus on the shoreline. But they likely didn't know what all the fuss was about. Or perhaps maybe they didn't fully believe it. Then the miracle happened, and now their eyes are opened. And the only response that Peter knew how to do was to humble himself before Jesus, to get on his knees, and the true condition of his sinful heart was revealed. It became very apparent to him. He fell on his face before Jesus, saying, "You shouldn't even be around me, for I'm a sinful man." This happened also in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. I'll read it because it's a doozy. "I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said," this is Isaiah talking, "'Woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amidst a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" That was a common response. When God revealed his presence and glory, people fell as dead before him. They weren't standing there like this. They were on their face before God. They were seeking. There was something so precious about it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong snapping a picture or taking video. I do it all the time. I'm taken back by moments in here. I'm like, "Oh, Jesus, so beautiful." And I'm capturing these moments. And you know what I do? I go back and I look through them. I watch the videos. I hear the stuff. I thank God for social media. These things are documented because it feeds me to see what the Lord is doing. I see, I'm sure the disciples' hearts were burning within them when they knew that they were in the presence of the Messiah, the Son of God. Do we have a reverence for God when he shows up? You see, I believe we live in a really skeptical culture. Now that as far as we're concerned, God may be doing great things, and for some of us, we might be thinking, God's not really doing anything. You see, we tell a testimony of someone's healing, and perhaps we think they're exaggerating. Or someone gives their life to Jesus with tears in their eyes, and you assume they just want their moment in the spotlight. Someone gets delivered from addiction, and you predict they'll likely go right back. I want to warn you, skeptical and judgmental ones, I'm not saying every little thing that happens in the church is always the activity of God, but I am saying do not assume he's doing nothing. Do not assume he's doing nothing. He is doing much in our midst. Before you know it, if you do that for too long, nothing will convince you that God is truly working amongst his people. I don't want that for us. I don't want us to be such a skeptical bunch that all of a sudden nothing is the Lord and we fall down a slippery slope. You see, Peter knew this was too many uncommon things stacking up one upon another. He was believing, this is unique. This is unique. And what's he do? He falls on his face before God in repentance. We caught nothing all night. A crowd shows up on the shoreline, thronging the teacher. The teacher steps into my boat. He launches us out into the deep and brings a supernatural catch. Pay attention to the signs. Let's not be blind to the fireworks going off all around you. Somebody is breaking the 4-minute mile. Somebody is breaking the 4-minute mile. Your paramount point for today, barriers are shattering. I really believe barriers are shattering. I believe God is taking this church into a whole new place. And what was perhaps not possible yesterday may be possible today. For the scripture tells us in Matthew 19:26, with God, all things are possible. And we were singing it earlier. With God, all things are possible. We have got to believe it. I wrap up the story in verse 10. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus replied to Simon, and he told Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Would you please stand? Look at that last part. They left everything and followed Jesus. Wait. Wouldn't it be rational for us to sell the nets, Jesus? Wouldn't it be rational to maybe sell the boats? Oh, by the way, let's not forget the massive amount of fish that we have here. What do we do with the fish? Hey, if we're going to follow you, maybe we could sell all this fish and that'll give us a good launch pad of finances to take with us. That's a good idea. Perhaps we can get some money for all these things, help kick things off. No, they left everything and followed him. It may not have been rational, but it was surely appropriate. Because following Jesus may not always be rational, but it is always appropriate. I'm not calling you into a life of rationale. I'm not calling you to do the thing that makes the most logical sense. This book is filled with stuff that does not have a lot of logical sense. We have to be a kingdom-minded people to understand the ways of the Spirit. And the ways of the Spirit are also very often counterintuitive to what you and I would call logical sense. I'm not saying cast common sense out of the picture, but what I am saying is be Spirit-led. What I am saying is hear from God. What I am saying is have godly counsel of people around you that are mature in the things of God. I mean, you can come up to them and say, hey, I'm feeling like God may be asking me to do this. Does this make sense to you? As you step out boldly to be obedient and do things God's called you to do. What are you prepared to leave behind to follow him? especially if you know the life you will live is far superior to anything you've ever experienced? Are you paying attention to what the Lord is doing in the lives of people all around you? They're pressing into Jesus in a fresh new way. He's moving in our midst, friends. Make no mistake about it. This is uncommon, and he is stepping into our boat. He's taking us into deeper waters. He's speaking to us directly, and the choice is yours about how you will respond. The choice is yours. Man, I want you to choose to pursue him. I want to make a fresh commitment in my own heart to pursue him. To not let these things, not let distractions get in the way, just to pursue him. I feel his approval. I see the hunger level rising in this church. That's been happening. Man, there's so many wonderful things happening all across this room. But you have a choice to make as an individual, knowing that he's truly stepping into your boat. What are you going to do with this instance? He's calling you deeper. He's calling you deeper. You can bank on that. Would you close your eyes? Thank you, Jesus.
We pray this encouraging message provokes you to culture like Christ wherever the Lord leads you. Let's impact the world together for the glory of God. Stay connected with us on social media at Faith Chapel SD.